Our scripture reading this morning is found in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. And as I read these words in just a moment, you will probably recognize some of them as the gospel writers recognizing these words, the words that John the Baptist was fulfilling when he arrived on the scene to foretell the coming of the Messiah. And then at the end of the reading, there is reference to one who will lead them like a shepherd. And that, of course, reminds us of the role of the good shepherd in this story, but also the shepherds there at the birth of Jesus. So as I read, I invite us to listen for the word of God. Comfort, oh, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, then when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It had been a long, hard, typical day. In the pasture, the sheep had to be watched constantly and carefully, but at 10 o'clock, the flock had been herded into a circle for the night. The Judean hills were cooling quickly, and the shepherds' small bramble fire and their rough hair cloaks barely turned away the night chill. And now it was time for bed. As they'd done hundreds of times, the shepherds spread their sleeping mats near the dying fire and then did their best to find a comfortable position between the small rocks on the hillside. Tomorrow they would be up again before daylight and would work until dark. Tonight, as usual, only the sentry who watched for predators among the flock would stay awake. Just ordinary shepherds on a typical night. But before dawn, heaven would break into their world, and neither they nor the world would ever be quite the same. As the campfire cooled, the air above the camp rustled. The sentry stood and all the others raised up on one elbow and scanned the inky sky. Louder and louder the rustling became until it filled the night sky with a constant roar. And now, instead of blackness, the shepherds had to squint into the night as it came alive with light and the voice of an angel. No one moved. They were frozen with fear. The angel spoke, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." After this official announcement, the sky filled with angels singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom his favor rests." And then, just as suddenly as it had appeared, God's angel choir vanished. The cool, damp night was hot, silent and heavy, except for the bleating of a few scared sheep. The shepherds stood and breathed a relieved sigh that the frightening show was over. But after they had caught their breath, they said with one voice, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened." That night, as the favored herdsmen stumbled toward Bethlehem, they may have begun to piece together the message of the ancient scrolls, which spoke of the God of Israel himself visiting the earth. Maybe they remembered how God had promised to be the shepherd of his people. Maybe they knew that they were going to see the hope of all the world. At any rate, they hurried to Bethlehem in the middle of the night and then stood open-mouthed over the special child and his mother. But this red newborn wrapped in rags didn't look like royalty. But now the shepherds knew that this baby was the special one that the prophets had been writing about for so many years. They believed the angel's announcement. How extraordinary that shepherds were chosen to be the first recipients of the greatest birth announcement in history. Shepherds had once enjoyed most favored status in the stories of Scripture. Great heroes of the faith like Abraham and Moses and David were shepherds. And one of our best loved Psalms speaks of God as a shepherd, leading us into green pastures and beside still waters. But by the time Jesus was born, shepherds had suffered several centuries of bad PR. They were poor. They lived outdoors. The shepherds of Bethlehem, it says, were living in the fields. It sounds like they were homeless. They lacked refinement, education. Worst of all, maybe, they smelled like sheep. The technical term used to describe shepherds and other less acceptable people was Am Haaretz, people of the land, common folks. And that wasn't meant to be a compliment. Shepherds were assumed to be dishonest, thieving, no goods. Their testimony wasn't accepted in court because it was just assumed that they would lie. They let their sheep graze on other people's land. The wool, the milk, or the lambs that they tried to sell were assumed to be stolen. These people of the land were not considered good candidates to be religious. They were considered unclean, unkempt, uncouth. They didn't have time to study all the religious traditions, so they couldn't live up to the legalistic standards of the religious righteous. They were too busy doing dirty work to be considered pure enough to be really religious. They were too poor to go on religious pilgrimages, so the religious people would never consider them to be faithful to God. The last place that they would expect God to reveal his glory was among a bunch of these wool-chasing, tick-picking social cast-offs. Yet when God chose for angels to announce Jesus' birth, God sent those angels to shepherds who were out in the fields tending their sheep. Think of it, dirty, stinky shepherds camping out and watching their sheep, heard the joyous praise of angels, and they came running to see the newborn baby Jesus. Nowadays, not many hospitals would have allowed them to go into the waiting room, much less the delivery room. But God made sure that the shepherds felt at home when they found the baby Jesus. He was lying in a feed trough in the place where animals were kept, a place any old shepherd would feel at home. And so right in the middle of the birth of the Son of God, with all the good, sweet folks praying for God's deliverance, and with the Romans busy ruling their empire, and with the religious folks trying to protect their traditions, God placed his Son in a manger surrounded by a bunch of wool-chasing, tick-picking, social cast-offs known as shepherds. The smell of sheep and the smoke of their campfires still clung heavily to their clothes when they arrived to greet the newborn king. The story of the shepherds is God's reminder that no one can steal God's grace from us. No matter where we've been, or how we smell, or what people call us, there's room at the manger with the baby Jesus for all of us. In February of 2014, Suzanne and I, along with a tour group, spent a rainy Sunday morning on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. We had our picture taken with the Temple Mount and the Dome of the Rock in the background. Some people sat on camels to have their picture taken. And then we began to walk down the traditional route of Jesus' Palm Sunday entrance into Jerusalem. We passed cemeteries where people pay a great deal of money so that they will have a front row seat to see the Messiah returning to the earth at the temple. We saw a church built in the shape of a teardrop that marked the spot where Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem, the place that kills her prophets and stones those sent to her. And we ended up in the Garden of Gethsemane, walking among centuries-old olive trees, and we could almost hear Jesus crying out in prayer, "My Father, if it's possible, take this cup of suffering from me. However, not what I want, but what you want." It was from that very garden that Jesus was taken while he was still at prayer. He was betrayed by a friend and arrested by a crowd carrying swords and clubs and hurried to stand trial before religious authorities and Roman officials until sentence was pronounced and he was taken to a place called Calvary to be hung on a cross. On the very same day, according to John's Gospel, that the Passover lambs were killed for the paschal sacrifices. The Lamb of God, whom John the Baptizer said would take away the sins of the world, himself became the sacrificial lamb for all of us. The Good Shepherd, who knows all of his sheep by name, lay down his life for the flock. And then we left the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives and boarded our bus and traveled through an ugly wall guarded by lots of soldiers with guns, separating the old city from the West Bank. And we stopped at a place in Bethlehem called the Shepherd's Field. It's a rocky hillside covered with small caves. The shepherds of Bethlehem may have been living in one of those very caves when they received the announcement of Jesus' birth. We were supposed to celebrate Holy Communion in one of those caves. We made our way in, prepared the elements, got ready to worship, when all of a sudden our group was suddenly told by some rather rude people that the site was closing for the lunch hour and we would have to leave right away. No time to break the bread or drink the cup. The way we were treated, you might have thought we were a bunch of first century wool chasing, tick picking shepherds ourselves. We were ushered out the gate and back on the bus with no consideration that we were Americans who had traveled thousands of miles to be in that sacred spot. What nerve! Just for a moment, I felt a tiny bit of what it might have felt like to be one of those shepherds. And yet these were the ones who were treated to the first viewing of the baby Jesus in the manger. That day in Jerusalem ended with a trip to the upper room and then to the tomb of the great shepherd King David. What a reminder that the one who said in an upper room, "This is my body, this is my blood, do this in remembrance of me," who was betrayed by a friend in a garden of olive trees and crucified as the Lamb of God in the place of the skull, is the same one whose birth in the city of the shepherd King David. He was the one that the angel announced to the shepherds in their fields, which was good news of great joy for all people. This is the one who would grow up to be our good shepherd, our own shepherd king. So let's now go to Bethlehem with the shepherds to see this thing that has happened. Amen.